Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the sweet honor, the privilege, Lord, of having your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord God, for the Lord God, the direction you've given already. We want to thank you because we know it's not everywhere you choose to visit. It's not every place you choose to manifest. And so we want to thank you for the covering of our fathers that have caused this open heavens over us and are causing, Lord, us to enjoy the fullness of your Spirit upon us in this place. We are grateful, Lord. As we come to teach and deliver this word and to receive it, we come in full cognizance of the fact that in ourselves we cannot do either, whether deliver it or to receive it as we ought. For it's not the word of man, but it's the word, the compressed wisdom of the living God. And so we need help. And therefore I come to strip myself afresh of every confidence I might have in what I know, what I prepared. I trust you for fresh mercy, abundant mercy, Lord God, to bring forth this word in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of your Spirit, to do an eternal work in us, Lord God, causing us to be more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, causing our minds more enlightened by the revelation of your word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be controlled even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Let your presence and power increase in the air to break every yoke, to meet every need tonight, Lord God, that your name be glorified among your saints in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, so that you help me to be concise. Help me to be precise, not to say anything unnecessary. Help me, Lord, to bring forth out from the treasure of this word things both old and new as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And I beseech you, Lord, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it, causing men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the same, and receive the blessing thereof and therein in the name of Jesus. I further ask that as I speak now, you'll help me, Lord, to put upon me the mantles of my fathers. Pastor Luby and Mommy Sherry Johnson, help me to put upon me their mantles. So as I preach and teach and deliver this word, it will be according, Lord God, to the way they would have done it were they here themselves. So that, Lord God, as this word goes forth, it will be a refreshing to all, but especially to them that as they eat and drink of this vine they will be, that they have planted over the years, they will be satisfied with the travails of the enemy and souls in me. I thank you because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. That which you have promised, you will do more than we can ask or can think. We pray, ask, and receive in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God again for this great honor, the privilege to bring this word tonight. And getting a word today, which I want to thank God for that song the choir sang. It gave me a bit of encouragement. Because it was has to do with exactly what I believe the Lord had me bring today. They sang the song that we were created in His image and likeness. And I bring a word today that God has made us gods unto men. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a message that comes as an offshoot of the Bible study. I've been in the book of Acts chapter 7 for some time now, and specifically studying the book of Moses. And one of the parts of that Bible study hit me hard when I was, you know, revising and reading it, you know, doing the research as I was studying. And so I believe it's a word in season, especially in this season when the whole earth is waiting to see God. They don't know He's God. They don't know what they're waiting for. But by the revelation of the Spirit, we understand that God is about to appear again on the earth in the sons of men. And that God has appointed, not because they're special, but because they have taken the time out to do what they need to do. God has appointed some men to be gods unto men. That might sound like a paradox, but it is not. Amen. Men to be gods unto men. Well, anyway, let's go on. So we're going to start reading from the book of Exodus in chapter 6. Give me Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 28, I believe, just before the end, and it segues into chapter 7, verse 28. This is the Lord speaking to Moses while he was in the land of Egypt. Shall we read together? And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. As if he didn't know. Says, now, this is very important. It says, speak thou unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I say unto you. Not what you think, not what occurs to you, only speak what I say to you. That was the mandate. All right? Now, this is Moses before the Lord. He said, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Now, you must understand that what he's saying here is a result of 40 years of breaking. This was not Moses before. This is a different Moses entirely. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and he said, Lord, what are you talking about? I can't talk. I'm an uncircumcised. How can I go to the king of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth and speak to him? Hello, but he was doing it before. He was mighty in words and deeds. And guess what? They were listening. But this is a different Moses. This is a Moses who had been dealt with, retrained, reprogrammed, refocused 40 years after being back to the desert. All the swagger had gone. Had been removed. He was now the meekest man on the face of the earth. Amen? But the point I'm trying to make is that in verse 29, they say, what God wanted is to have somebody who would speak only what God wanted to say. Now, could God have gone to Pharaoh and, you know, spoken to him? Yes. But he didn't want to go that way. Why? I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have listened either. Maybe Pharaoh wouldn't have been, but I'm almost certain that because God said, I know that man, he will not listen to you. Because much he try. I've tried to speak to him in the night season. God speaks to everybody, you know. Every human being. But this man has so much heart in his heart that even when the God of heaven and earth was taught, I said, nah, God speaketh once, twice, men perceive it not. This guy was only, his own lack of perception was spectacular. So I said, okay, all right, this is our talking of nice season. Let me now send Moses. But Moses, only one condition. Everything I say, you say. If I don't say it, you do not say it out. And he wanted only someone to speak only the words which God himself wanted to speak to Pharaoh, and to do only what God himself wanted to do. In other words, there had to be a total synchrony between what God wanted to say and do and what Moses said and did in that regard. Amen? Notice Moses' words, not thoughts. Moses had his own thoughts, but he couldn't afford to allow his own thoughts to come out. All he could allow was the thoughts that God had towards Pharaoh and the actions God had towards Pharaoh. We're saying this for a very important reason. So, Moses could not afford independent action to be a mouthpiece for God. Hello, somebody. Reminds me of somebody else one time. We'll get to that later. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. He said exactly the same thing. He says, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of God who sent me. See, I say nothing of myself while I hear the Father say. The word you hear me speak are the words which my Father have told me. He was God too, to men. We'll get to that later. More on that later. But the point is that Moses was a chosen vessel because he had been transformed by 40 years into a man so meek he couldn't speak anymore from himself. He says, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken? Who am I? Who am I that I should go and speak to Pharaoh? God, what are you asking me to do? That's the most powerful man on the face of the earth as I speak. You want me? Shepherd? He'd forgotten everything about Egypt. This lack of self-confidence is almost directly opposite to what we value in the world today. You know what they tell you? If you are not assertive, you are not vigorously pushing your cause. No, thank you. You have to blow your own trumpet. Well, they won't say that because it sounds proud, but that's what it is. They say you have to be assertive. Don't just allow things to happen around you. Take control of your life. Take charge. Thank you. I remember when I was in MBA class. Huh? God have mercy. When I was in MBA class in New York, they would say, you know, you need to be aggressive. You don't need to go, you can't sit down and wait for things to happen. You move, you make things happen. You move yourself. You know, you have to have confidence in your ability. Diametrically opposed to God. Confidence in your ability. The only confidence you have in your ability is under God. Hello, someone. So this is directly opposite to what God values in Moses, and is directly opposite to why he was chosen. The reason why he was chosen, because he had no confidence in himself. Hello, somebody. And if you had been speaking to sheep for the better part of 40 years, you would say, ba, ba, ba. Sometimes you spend the whole day, you don't say a single word, because there's nobody to talk to except sheep. Hello? Hello? You probably have a little bit less confidence too. Hello, somebody? So you could be excused. So what does God do? God solves a problem by giving him a mouthpiece. So, okay, you can't talk. Okay. I know Aaron, he can talk. Which itself is not a bad thing, but it may have been a bit of an indictment of Aaron. So Aaron can't talk. You look, okay, your brother will talk for you. And that's what prophets are, really. A prophet is just a mouthpiece for God. Hello, somebody. A prophet is not supposed to speak out of turn with God. Very, very careful what you say or what you don't say. But the point of here is that Aaron did not make the qualification of God to man. Aaron was not appointed as a God. He was appointed a prophet to the God, to the person that God has appointed a God to Pharaoh. But he himself did not qualify to be a God to Pharaoh. We know why. It came out not then, but later. Anyway, so this lack of confidence to do anything outside of God's will contrasts with what the world is going about today. And that's Satan. Satan's the one that says, I will be like the Most High. I will set up my throne. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's what the world is saying. I will. And that's why there's so few men that have been made gods unto men. Well, that's going to change. But the point here is it was the meekness of Moses, and the meekness of Moses that qualified him. I remember a pastor once preached where he says, God is one, let me write, I wrote it down here, one who can get you to do his will without ever violating your own free will. That's what God do. You do their will without violating your own free will. You do their will because you want to do their will. Now, sometimes God will have to convince you. But he will never, ever, he never violated Pharaoh's will. Pharaoh released the children of Israel when he was convinced he should. He was convinced. Yeah, God didn't tell him. Yeah, God wanted him to, but God didn't force him to. He did it of his own volition. That's what God do. Amen? But in this case, the Lord wanted to use Moses as a focal point. And I'm using these words carefully. And as a channel, I don't know the word channel because it has to do with mediums, but a conduit for divine purpose to let Pharaoh to do God's will and let Israel go free. And the thing was that at that point in time, like we know, Pharaoh's heart was hardened in the opposite direction. In total stubbornness. So, the die was cast for a confrontation between gods and a man. Guess who won? The Bible says, woe that unto him that striveth with his maker. Shall a man contend with God and win? Impossible. And you know that's what you become. You become invincible too. When you team up with God to do the will of God upon the earth, no man will be able to stand against you. That's what he told Joshua. Said, no man. I mean, when you read those things, you wonder. Say, all the days of your life, there shall be no man able to stand before thee. Why? Because he was in God's will. He was God's emissary to take them to the promised land. That's what happens when you team up with God. You become invincible. Amen. Now, we know that God is good. Somebody tell us God is good. So even though he brings judgment against Pharaoh, he's still good. That doesn't change him. The sad truth, like we said, I believe, on Sunday, was that Pharaoh could have repented at any time. And even those judgments, Pastor Wally, were acts of love. Yes, yes. To get him to understand the state of his heart and to change before The whole of Egypt was destroyed. So if he had been wise or a little bit more malleable, he would have discerned, this person, especially when his magicians were saying, this one, is not man, this is the finger of God. And then who is God that I should pay? Ha! Insult. Even in judgment, God remembered mercy. I love God. You know, the progressive nature of those judgments showed that God didn't want to go the whole hog. Why did he go and destroy the firstborn straight? Because he was merciful. He told him about the firstborn. He said, if you don't, this is where you're going to end up. So Israel is my firstborn. If you don't leave my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn. But you don't have to go there because you can release him now and stop all that. The point here is this. Judging from the events that took place, when God made Moses a god to Pharaoh, to the uninitiated, the Bible talks about those who wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. To the uninitiated, and believe me, there are many uninitiated people in the world, and guess what, even in the church. To the uninitiated, it will seem as if when God makes you a god to men, or when you try to be like God, what you have to do is to bring judgments upon men. You unload everything, all the arsenal of God upon their head. Hallelujah. Eh? You know, and you'd be surprised at how many people, go for that doctrine. Amen? So when Moses was appointed God to Pharaoh, and he brought those judgments, yes, that was God. That's the power of God at work. Hallelujah. To break the power of the hidden. Forgetting the hidden is God's creation. And that God is good. And his mercies endure. In fact, it's so amazing because I wonder how they come across that. Because even in the Old Testament, I understand the revelation is progressive and continuous. And that you begin to get a progressive revelation of who God is from the Genesis all the way to Revelation. So by the time you get to Revelation, you see different aspects of God. This is the first one that God introduced to Pharaoh through Moses. The aspect of judgment. Amen. But if you look at the scriptures itself, there's so many. I can't go to, but I just pick one or two that shows God's mercy, his loving character, even in the Old Testament. Give me Psalms 145 verse 8. This is old to you. And that's why David was such blessed of the Lord. Why God so loved? Because David understood who God was. In spite of the fact that he was still at that time a God of judgment, because the sin nature had been taken care of. He says, the Lord is, how does he know? Heart. The Lord is gracious. Full of, this is OT. This guy, David, by the grace and mercy of God, by his heart, in the Old Testament, he was able to tap into the New Testament to see who God really was. So the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow to anger. Now, if you read Moses, you won't believe that. You think he was all bringing those judgments. You know, sometimes he waited 7 days in between. Let the man give him time to. Thank you, Pastor Brian. He gave Pharaoh space to repent. He always does. Says, full of grace, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Next verse. I think there's next verse. The Lord is good to all, including Pharaoh. And his like. And his tender mercies are over some of the people he has made. By none. The scripture cannot be broken. So even when it looks as if he's not showing mercy, he's still being merciful. Hello, somebody. Look at Psalms 103. Verse 1. If I need to read the whole of Psalms 1, let's give me Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget all his benefits. Next verse. Who what? Forgiveth some of thy iniquities. Who healeth some of thy diseases. Oh, this is God. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Why was Pharaoh's life not redeemed? Well, the lives of Pharaoh's firstborn, the Egypt firstborn, not redeemed from destruction. Because some fellow by the name of Pharaoh had a contention with God. The leadership is very, very critical. When the leadership messes, God forbid, you will not mess up, but a leadership that messes up puts the people under him in great danger. That's what happened. It says, redeem my life from destruction, crown thee with loving kindness, with tender Old Testament. Read it in the Bible. Give me verse 8. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. This is the God. Let me read it. I wrote all the way to verse 11. Go to verse 9. We're trying to set God's character in our midst here. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger. For he will get angry, but he will not chide, and he will not keep his anger forever. Next verse, 9 verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why is the psalmist writing this? To let you know the kind of God he is and ever will be. I am the Lord, I change not. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I hope I'm getting across to somebody. Has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Next verse. For as the I love this one. It says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to all. To that fear him. That's what Pastor was preaching the other day. That was a problem with Pharaoh. No fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord prolonged days. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. That is the problem. Those that fear him. But if you count him as nothing, it says, who is the Lord that should obey him? We're saying this, you know, it's not. Help me, Lord. There are lots of people I fear today in the world and yea, in the church. Many. That's what the Lord told me. See, is that this heart attitude is not uncommon. In fact, it is very common. Just look at the world today. Going on their merry way, doing their own thing, thinking that there's no consequence. There will be a consequence. Sunday of judgment. Thank you. Hello, somebody. Somebody will ask, why did God punish only Pharaoh? Why didn't God just punish Pharaoh? Like I said, why destroy a whole? God didn't. First of all, two things. Number one, first of all, he was a leader. And so what he did had immediate repercussion on those. How many remember David when he numbered the people? Instantly. Brought judgment on the people. Pastor, he was preaching the other day. Amen. The second thing is that it wasn't only Pharaoh that was maltreating the people of Israel. Hello? The whole nation had them as slaves. They should not have been slaves. Because God used them to save Egypt. Without the Jews, the Hebrews, Egypt would have ceased to exist 400 years ago. Pharaoh would have wiped them out. And like I said on Sunday, they just had to go and check the annals. Who are these Hebrews? Borotiwa? Well, they refused not to know. We must understand that God's character is never first to bring judgment. Never. Jeremiah chapter 9:23. Quickly. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man, Pharaoh, glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Hey. Oh, you need to go and look at it. I don't want to cut scripture in Nigeria. Just go and look at. Let me just keep quiet. Let me get off on that. Ah! This is God's word. That, you know what they say is that they're coming and they're going, it console you. Nothing will happen. No evil will befall us. You're a liar. Next verse. Let him that glorieth, glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me. Now, this is his character. That I am a God which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve 24/7, day and night, without change. He has never changed. He never will change. And I want to rearrange the right, the order of that thing. First, God shows loving kindness. He expects that loving kindness to bring a measure of righteousness back. But if you persist in unrighteousness, then judgment falls. That's what happened to Pharaoh. But he always starts with loving kindness. That's who he is. But like we said, on the surface, when we read men, the impression is given that to be a tool for God or to be a God to men, your job description, your mandate from God is to destroy and to bring judgment, bring fire from heaven. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost fire. I remember when I was a young Christian, a baby Christian. One of the, thank God for his mercy. God had mercy. Some of them are saved today, but there's one in particular that didn't get saved before he passed on. But so trusting God that, you know, maybe in the transition between life and death, God will get him. It was my cousin. And, you know, when I got born again, he was very angry. He said, "Wait, I thought you were sensible. You haven't heard, we've heard many things. See, I thought you were sensible. I thought you made sense. Yes, you can't be that stupid. Believe that nonsense, that rubbish. How can you believe a God that commits genocide? How can you tell me a God that says kill all the babies, all the chickens, and that's the kind of God you want to serve me? I'm not there." I said, "Okay, I don't know everything, but what I have in my mind, in my heart, tells you that there's a lot of this God that you and I don't know." That's what I could say. I didn't know what to tell him because he was there in black and white. He showed me the scripture. Say, "When you get there, you wipe out," then they show me one of our soul. "Hey, I'll kill all of them, all the other guys. Just slay them. Don't leave. Spare not." So you see, that's genocide. That's. Did I know? But you see, I didn't know the difference. I know many of us must have gone through that too. So the man was just bamboozling me. Everything I had, an argument he had, is, you know, he went to Christ school. I don't get it. And he did BK. I didn't do BK in GCI. So I had nothing to, there was nothing, no defense. I said, "But look, it's not everything we know about this. I don't know what, but it's just something that feels right about this." We had this, you know, we used to be very close. We used to bum around about it together. You know, he was older than me, but, you know, it was like my brother, my senior brother, you know. And we had this, until after a while, I just had to leave. Because, I mean, I'll go to that, we spend the whole day discussing why I shouldn't be going to church and everything. But the essence is, it's foolishness. He said, "How can a dog kill babies? What kind of God?" I said, "I don't know." But he said, "Now I know what the situation is. Babies go to heaven. And God does not demand, you know, anybody killed without a reason. There's a purpose, a reason why that, for example, the one in Canaan, that he was saying, because they were all infested with demons. There was total demonic infestation. Even the chickens had demons." Amen? Yeah. So that was it. But I didn't know that then. But you know, God is gracious. When you have a heart, I said, "God, me, I don't know about all this. But I just know that this thing, this Bible, there's something about it that is true. I don't know it all. Maybe I'm even making a mistake talking to this guy." Anyway, which is what I did eventually. So it's separate. But the essence is this. Now, when you consider that, then you consider the Elijahs, the Elishas, Jonah, they wanted to wipe out the whole city. Hello? Why the wipe out Nineveh? You know, all of the prophesied judgment fire, you may think that this is what being like God is. And there are many men and women in this world today, in the church, folks, their entire ministry is built upon bringing fire down on your enemies and wiping them out. Rain judgment on your enemies. Hallelujah. So, this is the God, quote unquote, of the Old Testament. So what does God do? Well, it takes him a little while because he has to work it out before he brings it to pass. But the Bible says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. So God knew exactly what to do. The only thing is he had to get people to pray it into being and to put enough prayer out there that they could use to bring his plan to pass. And what does he do? He sends another God to be a God to men. Centuries afterwards, but he came. We're not going to know all the details, but let's just say he came. Many centuries after, fast forward, another God, man, this time, this was God sent in the flesh. It wasn't a man in the flesh, made God. You know, Moses was a type of Christ. And he's a type of we who are Christ-like. "A prophet like unto me shall the Lord raise up unto you." Moses prophesied these things because he knew what people are going to think over the centuries. So when the Lord Jesus comes this time, he says he's God with us, Emmanuel. God sends him to be a God to all men. And he comes in with a totally different message in a totally different dispensation. Give me John chapter 1, 14. Quickly. Hope again, so we're building something up. You'll see where we're going by the grace of God in a short while. Oh, my dear God. John 1, 14. And the Word was made. Come on, guys. And did what? And that's what God still wants to do. So that you can handle him. You can touch him. You know what John says? He said, that which we have seen, our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, which we have handled of the word of life. Talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And you know, guess what? That's exactly what God wants you and I to be to men. Not some pie in the sky, ever out there, yes. Down to grassroots. That's why when the glory comes, you're going to go. Nobody said amen. Whether you like it, folks. Just be gearing yourself up. Because when the glory comes, this church is going to thin out a little bit. Although some people take your place where you come. Don't worry, you can come back. But you're going to go. Because God wants grassroots evangelism. With the power of God. This, I'm getting ahead of myself tremendously. This gospel must be preached to every ethnic group. And they must see God in you. Hello? Well, it's a little bit silent. But remember, when the Lord Jesus came, he was still operating under the Mosaic law. But he came with a far different and more enlightened interpretation of what God was to men and what God expected the men he sent to men as God to be. Do we get that? He came with a different dispensation from what Moses did. He came with a different understanding of what God was to men and what the men that God made gods to men were to be. Hello, somebody. So he came in a twofold. He came as God and he came as man. That was made God. He came as God and as man made God. In other words, he was not operating as God, but he was God. That says the word was made flesh. He was God. Inside that, his body was the fullness of the Godhead in a measure. Hello, somebody. But he didn't operate in that fullness. He left all of it back home. There were some times when he was coming out, like on the mount, when he just changed and the glory just came from within. Like the Garden of Gethsemane said, Who are they looking for? Says, I am. Everybody fell down. Oh, a sample. Just show him. He was God. He just decided to keep it under wraps. And all the while trusting, like mommy said, oh, that's a wonderful, I can never forget that word. Trusting on the Holy Ghost to teach him how to be a man, even though he was God. Ah! He had never been man before. And the omniscience that would have taught him how to be a man, he left with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. That's because he didn't know all things, you see, when he came down. He came like you and I. God had to teach him day by day, morning by morning, moment by moment. This is what you say. This is how you do it. This is what you don't say. Don't talk now. There was one time he wanted to give the Jews a license. I have many things to say, but I'm not going to talk yet. God said, he couldn't learn because man didn't know how to be a God unto man. He couldn't learn from man. Huh? Anyway, so that's it. So, now we want to look at some of the things that Lord Jesus Christ said that were spectacularly different. I'm trusting God. All in Matthew 5. I don't remember the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount. He declared his manifesto right at the beginning. This is why I'm come. Yes, he's come to have life, but this is it. Give me chapter 5, Matthew verse 17. Matthew 5:17. Oh, I didn't finish reading that. Go back to that. John 1. Quickly. Go back to John 1:14, I think. John 1:14. Yeah. The Word is made flesh and dwelt among, beheld his glory, as of the glory as the only begotten then of the Father, full of grace and truth. Next verse. And Bell, John Bell, witness of me, and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was the next verse. I'm going to somewhere. Which was, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Next verse. Yes, this is it. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why his dispensation was different. It was a dispensation of grace and dispensation of truth. Amen. So even though he was operating under the Mosaic law, he came with a different interpretation of who God was to man and what God expected God's made men to be to men. I hope you got that. Now, Matthew 5:17. Quickly. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Next verse. For verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth shall pass, one jot shall in no wise pass from the law till I fulfill all. Now, give me verse 21. This is the Lord. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Still the same dispensational, but he's making a quantum leap forward now. Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. It is true. But, next verse. I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his neighbor without a cause, you can be angry but don't sin, but if you're angry, you must have a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raka, or thou fool. I never call anybody a fool. Only one person said, He quickly denied. You know what he's saying? He says, even the most mundane abuse, God looks upon it and frowns upon it. How can you call a person made in the image and likeness of God a fool? Unless he happens to not understand who he is, then he's a fool. God said, the fool has said there is no God. So if a person says there's nobody qualifies for a fool, but you don't be the one to say it. It says, don't call him a fool. Shall be in danger of the council. Who else shall be in danger of hell? Fool! Ha! And the scripture cannot be broken. Hello, somebody. Verse 27. I'm just going to hit one or two wrong. You can read it later. You have heard that it was said by them of old time. Again, he's talking about old. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Ten commandments, right, goes all the way back to Moses in the desert. The 12, Ten commandments. But I say, now this is where they got this tirade. What kind of human being is this? He's just negating Mosaic law. What I say to you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Yay! Different dispensation. Matthew, I'm going to jump in. Matthew 38. I'm going to finish with that. There's so many others. You need to go and read those things. Sometimes you just read it like on the surface. Go and read it with understanding. God will help us. Verse 38. You have heard, I love this one, that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Mosaic law, again. Correct. But I say, nah, this is serious. I say unto you, resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Hello? Did he not do it? See where we're going now. Like Paul, when he smote Paul, he said, thou whitest, thou smitest me contrary to the law. And then he says, I wish no was a man. He said, thou shalt not speak. If that man had been near him, thou slapped him back. Bosa. Say, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Next verse. And if any man will sue thee at the Lord, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Hello. Talking about being a God to men. Next verse. And whosoever shall compare thee, go with him too. In other words, outdo the man. Don't allow yourself to be overdone by somebody who has no understanding of what being a God to men is like. Hello, somebody. Now, you have to ask yourself the question. I mean, it goes to verse 40. Okay, we've done that. You go and read it later. I don't want to get into all that. But the question I want to ask is this the same God who brought judgment on Moses, on Egypt through Moses? Is this the same God that instructed Israel to wipe out the inhabitants of Canaan? Is this the same God that is talking about that punished Saul for not killing all the Agagites, including their livestock? And I kept a few to worship the Lord. And the Lord Jesus wasn't even finished. Give me verse 46, Matthew 5. Verse 46. This is how he ended up. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Next verse. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Don't even the publicans do that? Next verse. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's what we're all about till today. That's the message he came to bring. Perfect means being exactly like God is, day in, day out. And the thing that blew my mind is this. This was radical in Lord Jesus' days. Extremely radical. Because he had, in one sermon, even though he said he was not come to wipe away the law and come to fulfill it, in one sermon he had done away with all the major tenets that the Israelites, the Jews, held sacred in the law. I said, this is now how God wants you to pray, to do. And you know what? The instructive thing is that there were people who knew him, who were his disciples. Like Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I said, flesh and blood is not real to my Father's in heaven. So Jesus said, yes, it's true, I am the Son of the living God. There were disciples who heard that, who knew him as God in human flesh, who understood that he was Emmanuel, God with us, and that to be like God was to be like him. But they were still stuck in the past. That to be like God to men was to bring judgment upon men. What am I talking about? James and John, thank you, the sons of thunder. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 verse 51. Those guys were, they were Jesus' people, disciples. And there are many like them today. They were walking with Jesus, but their mindset was a judgmental, back Old Testament mindset of who God really is. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should receive. Now, this is close to the end of Jesus' ministry. It says that the time he should be received up, he was on his way to Jerusalem to go and fulfill, you know, the word of the Lord concerning him. So these people had seen him for at least a couple of years plus. And still we were. Look what he said. He's terrified, he said he's afraid to go to Jerusalem. Next verse. And sent messengers before his face, they went and entered the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. Next verse. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. But what did the sons of thunder want to do? Hey, we need to be careful, folks. And when his disciples, James and John, disciples though, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we, and help, you know what? They could have done it. Because he had put the anointing on them. So they were gods to these men in Samaria at that time. You don't get that. The anointing of the Lord Jesus upon them. So if it could not happen, they would not have asked it. Say, Lord, will thou, not that you, we will, we will help you. We'll take care of it. How dare you? Will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? You know the thing about it, Elias didn't do it. Elias never called fire down, but it was to consume the sacrifice, not men. So they just wanted to see these people suffer. Show them, thank you. We are the ones that are following the true God. We have the power. And Jesus laughed. He said, you don't know what's preacher of. He said, the Son of Man came not to destroy man's life, but to save it. Let's go to another town. But what am I saying? There are multitudes of the Lord's disciples who still relish this calling fire and brimstone from heaven to pursue. They say pursue. You pursue them. Burn up the enemies. In stark contrast and opposition to the Lord's message. If you want to go to Luke chapter 6, read it. When you read things like that, it will sober you up. So, what does God want men to see? Which of the two gods does God want his people to see? Well, in my opinion, both. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Both. Now, he would rather you see the God that is love and loving kindness, the Lord that has come to demonstrate the goodness of the Lord to you. That's the one he would rather you see. But you must remember, in his pocket is the other God. Hello? Both are representations of an aspect of God that cannot be denied, that cannot be separated. I am the Lord. I change not. I'm the God yesterday. The same God that yesterday is still there today. God is good, though. Tell anybody God is good. But he's also severe when he has to be. Otherwise, he'd be a toothless bulldog. He has to have something there to convince the gazers. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. The person that knows who God is Satan. You don't have to go and ask him. But Satan knows that when God says he will do, he will make sure it will come to pass. I said, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Romans 11. Amen. To them that fell, severity. To you that are grafted in, goodness. But they too will be brought back if they repent. And this is it. God made man in his image for love, fellowship, and command. He says, let us make man in our image. But it was a betrayal and follow by. We know the story, so I'm not going to dwell in so much. It was a betrayal of Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam really, not Eve. Eve, you know, just was a tool in the hand of the devil. It was Adam that really betrayed, because it was to Adam that the responsibility for keeping the garden was given. And until sin nature was dealt with and God could allow man to approach him in limited fellowship, this aspect of judgment was there constantly. Amen? But you know what? You know, one of the things that surprises me is that even before the law was given, even though the sin issue was there, even before the law was given, there were people who are relating to God one-on-one. Yeah, look at Noah, for example. Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes. Was it that he was not a sinner? He was a sinner. He had the sin nature inside him. Look at Joseph. That's one of the most powerful sermons, one of the most challenging sermons I've ever heard in my life. It said Joseph had no Bible. And yet in a place, the same Egypt. In Egypt, he was able to function as though he was in Jerusalem or wherever, you know, he was carried away from. As though there was no temple, no supervisor, no priest, no prophet. Nothing. Him alone in the midst of millions of Egyptians. He was swamped, but he kept himself. How? By the law of heart. Keep the word in your mouth, in thy heart, and do it. There was no Bible. All he did was every day he kept that word in his heart. The one that he knew he was speaking. The one he didn't know, maybe God would download him, he was speaking. But he did not have, folks, God is going to ask many questions. Heart, folks, it's always been heart. There was Abraham before him. There was even Jacob. Jacob had his own mistakes, but even he repented later because of the heart relationship. Noah, as much as Noah, Moses, all found favor in God's heart, in God's eyes because of their heart. So this is it. So in this dispensation of grace, which the Lord Jesus ushers into, we now see a different side of God's character. Long suffering, gentleness, love, all the fruit of the Spirit, patience, meekness, kindness, all those wonderful attributes, which we did not see through the Lord in the... Well, we saw it, but I mean, it was hidden in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Now, why all this? Well, why are we saying all this? I believe that God's original plan was, and is still, to make man in his image and likeness. Amen? He wants all men to be made in his image and likeness. Every single man has that potential. Well, that's the purpose of God. But in the interim, because you see, you can only copy what you see. Like those ring straight, you know, stalks. You know. So God, in the interim, help me, Lord. Because most men have never seen God and they have no idea of who God is. And they have an idea. When I say idea, they have no working model of who God is. Most people just hear, you know, about this big judgmental God who tells us don't do this, don't do that. And that's how God has been misrepresented. Amen. The lives he making men go through hard times. Amen. And we, the church, who are supposed to demonstrate him, and the truth is we failed abysmally. If you look at the church today and you say that's how God is, all you see is a covetous church, a church where the leaders are in constant strife, as if God is always striving, the three persons of God are always striving together, each one looking for position and power. Hello? You see, a church where their main thing is not serving God, but serving their own flesh. Go to bow down before politicians. No integrity whatsoever. Because of gain. Pardon? This is not the God they're waiting for. So they see that and say, oh, they want something different from me. Except I have money, they don't. They're looking for me. I have a blessing. That's the church they see today. I was reading an article online. The one, you know, some of these mega churches, the devil has broken it up from within. He used pedophilia. Right? And the thing's been there for years. Nobody did anything about it. They were busy making money. So the church has failed abysmally. And so there's now a church within a church, the new grape in the cluster, that God is going to bring forth. He's now going to raise up men who will be gods to other men, so demonstrating the limitless capacity of God for mercy, for forgiveness, for love, and to save humanity. Yeah? Satan has succeeded to a great degree. He's distorted that. He obviously says he's blinded the minds of, you know, those in the world so that they will not believe the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? He's blinded them completely. They can't see God. But you know, Lord, you know, if somebody pops up in your locale and he has a spirit without measure, you will know he's there. You will see him. You will be able to go and talk, and you can go and talk to him, and he will speak to you one face to face like a human being. But he's God. Or he's like God. It's not God. He's like God. I'm not saying he's going to be God, but he's going to be like God. And he speaks to you the same words, because he will not speak from himself. What he hears the Father say, will he see? He's speaking to you directly from God himself. Online. Now, replicate that all over Nigeria, every nation in the world, in every ethnic group. That's the whole plan. So in every locale, God is there. If you have any doubts, just go look for him. And you hear him. You see him. You handle him. He's a man like you. But he has God within. That's the only way. Because God has been, the image of God has been so distorted, distorted by Satan through primarily the church. Because men don't know what God is like. And we were supposed to know, we're given a wrong impression. Mercy, Lord. Says that God has blinded the minds of them that believe, so the light of the glorious gospel. That light of the glorious gospel is the light that should shine in you and I. And Bible says, Jesus said, let your light so shine so that men can see it and they can give glory to your Father. And they can come to the brightness of your rising. Now, I want to go to a reader scripture. This same issue of men becoming God, I'm going to close now, help me Lord, has been in controversy since the days of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse 30, I believe. It's not anything. Remember the Lord, before we read this, remember the Lord Jesus was not operating as God, he was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. You've got to understand that. But so when he's saying this, he's not saying that he is God. He's saying that he and God are united and that they have one mind, one purpose, and one word. They are one in a sense that they are totally united. There's no gap, no schism between the two of them. Perfect unity. That's what he's saying. And this is where we're going, folks. Each one of us. I and my Father are one. But they got very angry. Blasphemy. What nonsense. Next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again. They tried to stone him before. Those Jews. Lord have mercy on them. Say, and to stone him. They're still doing this. The Jews are still doing the same today. So the stones are words, darts, fiery darts. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Next verse. Jesus answered and says, wait a minute. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? In other words, the works bear testimony of who I am. So you want to stone me? Stone me because of the works. The works that I'm not doing this by myself. The reason why I do those works, well, me and my Father are one, and I've demonstrated that to you. So which of these works that I'm doing or have done are you going to stone me for? No. Next verse. Say, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, check this out, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Because the whole essence of being a man is to become God. Or like God, not to become God. Because, she said, you... And you are customers, you don't understand. Next verse. This thing is still going on in the church today. That's why there's contention, but the year of controversy has come. Of setting up every controversy concerning Zion has come. Give me next verse. Next verse. Say, you're making yourself like God. Say, Jesus says, come. Is it not written within your law, I said you are God's? Next verse. So the scripture. If he called them gods, unto whom the world... Now, you know, you want to get this right. This is a lower level than where he's operating from. He says, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Now, This is the lower level. The next verse talks about the higher level. Next verse. Say, in other words, if that is true, what are you going to say of him whom the Father himself, in other words, I am not man. He's affirming his deity here. He says the Father himself has sanctified him and sent him into the world. From where? From where the Father stays. And send in the world, thou blasphemy, because I said, I am the Son of God. Next verse. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But the Father, I'm sorry, says this. He said, look, the whole essence of man is to become like God. And you're telling me that me who was with God, who was the Word that was God and that was with God, that God has sent to show you how to be like me, and I am blaspheming because I said, I and my Father are one. You're supposed to be like me. That's what he's saying then. That controversy is still raging in the church today. You are meant to be like I am, if you believe the scripture. As I said, the scripture cannot be broken. And guess what, folks? I'm making the same challenge to us. And all those are hearing this word. You are to be like him. The only reason you won't is if you don't believe the scripture. Because the scripture cannot be broken. The word of God cannot return void. It will be accomplished. And it will bring forth gods in the earth. In the image of man. It's going to work. Oh, my God. So he was operating. He was very sick. Look. So the point here is this: every born again child of God is a potential God to man. Every one of us, an extension of the Godhead itself, to demonstrate God to man. Amen. That's why God came down to show us how to be a God unto man. Hello, somebody. And The truth of the matter is, because there's been such a distortion and there's been such a lack of this very thing, how do I put it? It's not God's will, but God is making a redress now. Many people are asking, where is the promise of his coming? Say, God is coming. Where is the promise? That promise is still there. That promise has always been there. What has been lacking are the humble vessels. Are those vessels who have been emptied of themselves. The Bible says, if a man purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The work of being a God. God is, because there's none that's good except God. Hello? That's the problem, folks. That's what's been happening. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Godliness is a mindset. It's a mindset. But if you don't have a mindset, you will think it's impossible. Or that it's pie in the sky. It's the same thing anyway. And then he said, learn of me. Jesus, the Lord give us everything. He has nothing back. He said, you want rest for your soul? What? Rest for your soul means that you are no more laboring under your own suppositions, your own thoughts, your own ideas. Hello? You are rest. The Bible says in the 7 days, Jesus, God rested from his labors. So your mind is no longer laboring in and of itself. Your mind is only fixated upon what God is saying to you. And what you hear is what you do and what you say, both to yourself as well as to others. Are we getting across? That's the problem. The humble vessels are not yet where they are should be. So the idea is that I'm convinced God is going to manage. He's going to do it. And I believe he's working on it as we speak. Men made in his image and likeness. So that in every tribe and every tongue, like we say, you see God live and direct. No smoke screen, no shadows, no giving of offering. God is there. Jesus, the Lord Jesus went everywhere. Everywhere God asked him to. He didn't have a cordon sanitaire of the people. His avenging angels to stop men. Everybody was free to come. Said there's common people heard him gladly. He go to the house of publicans. They saw. They spoke to God. Am I getting across? They spoke to God. They saw who God was. And they understood that the God that they had been fed all these years by the Pharisees is no like. He said, this man, if he were not of God, he could not do anything. One man said, here is a very, very marvelous thing. Said, since the time began, nobody has ever opened the eyes of him that was born blind. See, this is a strange thing. But he's opened my eyes. If you are not of God, you couldn't have done nothing. Logic. Because he saw, he handled, and he received. No stress. He didn't have to go and see the bishop or anything. That's what's coming, folks. That's what God wants. And that's why the Great Commission to every ethnos says, go into all the earth and teach them all things that I have taught you. Every ethnos has to have a God represented in them. A perfect church with people in fullness and perfection and the borrowed anointing. Now, oh, Lord have mercy. This one, when the Lord shared this with me, I said, Lord, I bow. I'm submitting it. I will close with this. I help the Lord. And God said, every ethnos will have a representative, God-like men and women, made manifest to them. And it is to them they will recourse and no more to false gods. They're going to put all those false gods. the image that God gave me was, when you watch these Africa magic movies, I watch them too. When they go to Amadioha, Amadioha. They will say they have a problem, so the elders will troop and they go to Amadioha and ask, what is the God of our ancestors saying? They go to a shrine. Thank you. going to shine. He's going to get white on his eye like that. And his old mark is all over his body. And he'll be shaking. Or he's walking. Everybody's scattering. All that is going on. Same thing. Lord Baba, Ifa. All that is good. When they see the real thing, they say, this is our, this is our God. All they're going to do when they're out of the window. That's what's happening, folks. Because people have not seen God, they will go to false gods. When Saul no more heard from the true God, he went to look for the witch at Endor. And guess who's leading the pack of those is the church. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Because they had to perform, you see. But what I'm saying is this. When this happens, when gods begin to arrive upon the earth in the likeness of men sent to God. I said in another, God sent to men. When gods begin to arise in the earth in perfection, in purity, in power, they got the power, they got the holiness, they have the love, they have the long-suffering, the patience, the meekness, the temperance, they have the mind of Christ. Everything in one body. Ah! So this one, this is God. Jannes and Jambres will bow. And they will no more consult them. Their business will close up. Remember the sorcerer? Simon the sorcerer. Was it Eliman that said, give me this power? Yes, he was, he said, making out he was one great man of God. When there's no genuine, the fakes will take over. But when the genuine arrives, the fakes will be out of business. Look what the Lord showed me. Give me Isaiah chapter 2. This will bless you. I said, Lord, have mercy. This will bless you. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. When? The last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all ethnos shall flow into it. Because they're going to see something that they have never seen before. They were seeing gods in the likeness of men. Said, this is our God. We have waited for him. Next verse. Which is where I'm going. And many people shall go and say, come ye. Now, check this out. And let us go up. It's always up. Never down. Up to the mountain of the Lord. To the house of the God of Jacob. And the gods of Jacob. And the gods of the God of Jacob, sorry. The house of the God of Jacob and the gods of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his path. Now what's the reason why? For out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Zion is the highest point in Israel. So we're talking about the kings on Zion's hill who have come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. It says, for out of Zion, where the kings are, shall go forth the law. The administration of the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets men free from the law of sin and death. That's what they're going to be ministering. Everything that will make you like God. And guess what? They have the authority to do so. Because they are like God. So it's going to be a one-on-one transference. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Zion is the highest place. Now it now says, and, which means there's a conjunction here. It is not the same as Zion. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion is in Jerusalem. It's the highest point. Jerusalem is a little lower than Zion. The borrowed anointing. What he says is that, you know what he says? He said that those who have the borrowed anointing will also. The Bible says the word. What's he talking about? The word of the Lord. No, he's talking about every counsel of God. Bible talks about kings that reign in righteousness and princes that, sorry, kings that rule, you know, kings that reign and princes that rule in judgment. So the counsel of the Lord will come from those who are in Jerusalem. Not yet in Zion, but in Jerusalem. But they have that covering from the kings to be able to disseminate what God is saying in every single situation. They have the mind of Christ. They have the word of the Lord. And as people come to them, they will go first to them first. And then, if they cannot handle it, they go to Zion. But what happens is this. There are two levels here. Zion is the place of perfection and fullness, where everything that has to do with the law, the making of a man in the image and the act, in the image and the likeness of Christ, the administration of the law of the Spirit of life will be ministered from, to bring men out of just being mere men to becoming like God. And everything else, like you know, in Moses. Remember Moses in the desert? He said, make you 70 elders. So let them handle all the affairs. And anything that is too difficult for them to handle, bump it up to Moses. Moses is the type of Christ. There'll be a spirit. Exactly. Those ones receive of the Spirit. This is it. Now, I want to give you another verse that God gave me. Malachi chapter 2, verse 27. You won't believe this. Malachi 2, verse 7. 2:7. For the priest's lips should do what? And they should seek where? At his mouth. So just like in those days, the priests were the custodians of the law. They were the doctors. They were the ones who, if you had leprosy, you had to go meet the priest. If you wanted to find out what to do on what day, you had to go see the priest. You did not do anything of yourself. You had to consult the priest 24/7. They were the ones who had the custody of the laws of God, and you only ignored them to your peril. That is coming back again. God is going to establish a firm order in the church. Said the priest should keep knowing. They should seek the Lord now, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Sent one. Thank you. Apostolos. Folks, me, I don't know about you, but when I read, I said, Lord, have mercy. All those who stood in the stead of God in those days, I can't remember, is it somewhere in Genesis, I don't know, is it Genesis, or is it somewhere where it talks about, you know, thou shalt not revile the gods. Can you find it for me, please? All those who stood in the place of judgment and justice, they call them gods. Can you find that for me, please? Thou shalt not revile, punch reviling. I had it, but it just left now. I revile the gods. What are we saying here? We're saying that God is bringing a new cadre of priesthood into the house. Exodus 22. Ah, there is it. Yeah. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. In other words, those who ruled in those days were termed gods. Gods sent to be God, sent by God to be gods unto men. That's Old Testament. We're bringing it into the New Testament now. Into this dispensation. So this is it. So the counsel of the Lord upon any issue will come out of Jerusalem, which is a step below the perfection and fullness of Christ, where they minister the anointing for those who are, that the word of the Lord that will bring men to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Now, what does this mean? Well, only that God is so well represented before men by God's men in the fullness of the Spirit without measure, and those operating the borrowed anointing, that men will no longer resort to false gods. They will seek the true God. They will come. Bible says in Isaiah, I love that scripture. Give me that Isaiah 45. I think it's in 45, where it says, men shall come down in chains. Say, these are not ordinary men. Say, they will come men of stature. Isaiah 45, verse 15, otherwise. 14, thank you. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans. Now, check this out. Men of stature, kings. Say, they shall come unto thee, and they shall be thine. Wait, just a minute. What do you think God is going to do when he begins to give you men? That says he'll give men for your life. Other human beings are given to you. by God. You know, that's what they did to Jesus. That's what God did to the Lord. He said, of these ones whom you have given me, I have lost none. Sorry? Ask of me the heathen. Thank you, Pastor Wiley. The heathen for thine inheritance, and I will give you the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. But you've got to be a king. A God made God unto men. A man made God unto men. It says, nay, they will come. Thank you. Ask him and shall give you the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Kings on the holy hill of Zion. That's why it's the Zion first. Then Jerusalem will bring the law. Okay. Give me that scripture. Isaiah 45, 14. Thank you. We're going to close there. Oh, help me, Lord. The labor of Egypt said, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and it shall be thine. They shall come out. They'll be running after you. Hey, Jesus. Can you receive this? Ordinary you and me. Kings of the earth running after you. It's already happening. It's already happening. We're seeing it in our midst here. They're coming, and they say they're coming chains. What's that chain? Chains of pride. Things that have held them captive and bound, they don't know how to get out of it. So they're coming chains. They shall come over, they shall fall down unto thee, they shall make supplication unto thee. You're only supposed to supplicate God, but they're going to see God in you. You're not God, but they'll see the God in you. And they shall say, surely God is in thee. There is none else. There's no God elsewhere. Quickly, we close. And why God is doing this? He says, by his goodness, he's making, he said, by his goodness, yes. I said, by his goodness, he's bringing many to repentance. So that people learn righteousness. There's repentance and there's judgment. It's good to, you know, God starts with his goodness and he makes you repent. But if there's no repentance, he'll bring the judgment. And so when I judge on the earth, the people shall learn righteousness. But it's good to learn from the goodness rather than the judgment. Amen. And that's why, so that God will bring many men to repentance. And so when he's judged, when he's asked, because people ask him on that day too, God, what did you do for me? And he'll be able to say, I did this, I did this, I did this, in righteousness. So how will we do this? Well, first and foremost, you've got to have a desire. If you don't, all this has been talking, my side little pie in the sky. But if you don't have a fervent desire to do this, it's going to escape. It will not escape you in Jesus' name. Because you have, the Bible says, he that has this hope says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Says, if it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. We shall see him as he is. Why? Because we shall be like him. Reproduced the Christ in us. But he says, he that has this hope must do something. In other words, the only way you're going to do anything about it is to have the hope. So first of all, an understanding that God has decreed, has said that you are to be a God to men. And be a God like him to men. Just any kind of God. And then you have that hope. I say, Lord, I want to do. How do I go about it? And start purifying yourself. How do you purify ourselves? Well, the Bible says, let's cast that. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some. The some won't do it. All will. All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's that fear of God again. That's why most people aren't being perfected in holiness. There's an overwhelming lack of fear in the world, in the church today. That's why you don't believe. Things continue as they were. Nothing has changed. Be careful. When they say there's peace and safety, suddenly. God says God is going to come suddenly. Mercy, Lord. So then you purge yourself more fitness, the fish of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness if you have, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, the word, he that keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. And the power of the Spirit, perfecting the love of God, cleansing out the sin nature. And we need to also pray for and exercise ourselves in meekness. That thing is critical now. Folks, that was what was given to us at the beginning of this year. Meekness. That meekness towards the end of last year into this year. Folks, we're not going anywhere without that meekness. So that's the key to everything. The meekness, remember we started with Moses? The reason why he qualified was because he is completely devoid of self. Totally abandoned self-confidence. we need to read some of these things sometimes to get a picture of what God is trying to tell us. So we do that, and then we inherit the borrowed anointing, and then the fullness of the Spirit without measure, under the covering of set spiritual fathers, in obedience and in humility, humble unto them. God says, look unto Abraham and Sarah, Lord, from whence you are hewn, for he's about to come for Zion. All of this seems very far-fetched. Abby? Well, I don't think so. How many members remember Paul in Lystra? Everything has it's already in the scripture. Paul in Lystra. The Bible says they were making sacrifice on when he healed this. They wanted to make sacrifice. What did they say? The gods have come down to earth in the guise of men. And that was the former house. The Bible says the glory of this latter house will be far greater than the home. So this is it, folks. This is what God, I believe, has said. What do I say? Let me just say this. Because, you know, some of you might be thinking, Pastor G, well, this judgment issue, we have to bring judgment. Yes, you bring judgment. But you have to understand that that is not God's first port of call. He will use it. The Bible tells us to abandon the nobles with iron. But you know, Pastor was preaching the other day, said that we may be rooted and grounded first of all in what? That we may be able to comprehend with all saints, and including men too, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the judgment of God. Oh, love. Okay. So the love of God that passeth all understanding. So that's the key to being filled with all in all. The fullness of him that fills in all. That's the key. But we will need judgment. But you know what? Judgment will come upon men, but the true judgment is against principalities and powers. That says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against human wicked spirits in heaven places. You break the power of the wind of the principality over people, they're free. That's where the warfare, the judgment, those are the real nobles we need to bind with fetters of iron. Not the ones in Abuja. They're under the influence. The real judgment is to bring judgment upon the principalities and powers of wicked spirits that hold men captive. To loose them. Thank you. The prince of this world. And guess what? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 tells me that the church of God is going to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And that's how it's going to set the world free. Yes, there will be men that will bring judgment upon. Like Paul brought judgment upon that lady that was talking, you know, that was advertising them. And he says, you know, you're going to be blind. It's cast out the spirit. Another one says, thou, you know, that full of all subtlety, you're going to be blind. Did that. That's there. For a season. But see, God loves men. And God understands that the key to breaking them loose is to take care of the powers and principalities in the heavenly places. So that's what we're going to do as God's folks. God is good, but God is also severe. But God wants us to be a representative of him to men, to show who he really is, which is that love and compassion, that faithfulness, that meek, that all those gentle attributes of God. Read Psalm, read the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 13. Read Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. That's God. But in the midst of all that, he's going to put this is amazing to me. Every single ethnic group, that's awesome, will have a representative God company to demonstrate to their people. So you won't say you didn't understand the language. There's somebody that's talking Filipino. Somebody in your locale that's talking whatever your ethnic language is. Perfect fullness of Christ, borrowed anointing in your own language. That's what God is doing. So God is making you and I gods unto men. And all those who hear this message, who will align with it and run with it and walk in the power of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus and come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, God will use in this end time to demonstrate His love and His manifold wisdom to men. May the Lord give us understanding. I trust you got something out of this tonight, and I want to thank the Lord for His mercy upon me. I believe it's a word in season. Word for now. Be made gods to men. Let's ask the Lord to help us. It's a bit of meat today. There's a few bones here and there. But I trust God has giving us a word each in our hearts. Amen. That's why I was so blessed when they sang the song in the beginning. We need to ask the Lord to help us. Because these things we've been speaking about, though we know them, you know, sometimes they slip. And like Paul said, we go back to walking like mere men. So as you walk as mere men, not as gods on the earth. May the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So prepare a place in our hearts, in our lives, for God to shine forth out of. Amen. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. I'm trusting that God will give me a... Do you have a word? Teach us your ways, O Lord, our God, and we will walk in your truth.
It was Lord,
give us
a totally undivided heart, that we
you respond to the word tonight, put a hand upon your forehead. I believe that's what the Lord instructed me. Godliness is a mindset. They said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who humbled himself. And let's raise another hand up unto the Lord and ask him to help us. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, showing and reminding me that it is your good pleasure to make me as a God, like God unto men. I understand that from the beginning of creation, it has been your good pleasure to make men in the image and the likeness of God. And I understand that in Christ Jesus, I am to be a partaker of this divine benefit. And so I come to ask for mercy. Lord, that Lord, you give me this mindset. Lord, you give me this hope, Lord God. And so help me, Lord, to use the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to purge myself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, and so apprehending all of my inheritance in Christ Jesus, and the borrowed anointing, and yea, the spirit without measure, in the name of Jesus. I understand that after I receive the glory, you will send me forth to bring your lordship into the lives of men, to demonstrate, first of all, to principalities and powers, your manifold wisdom, even the wisdom, Lord God, that will break the yoke over the sons of men, setting them free. And you will help me, Lord God, to demonstrate you to men, so that in me, men will see you and say, oh, come to Mount Zion, to come to learn of the ways of the God of Jacob, to walk in his paths, so that out of Mount Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I understand this as my purpose and my inheritance in Christ. Help me to be faithful, to be a God, made God, to be made God unto men, and so fulfill divine purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rusem baraka tangra, rimbiri bramala baka daraka sikongere, rimbira maraba saya, rambadi bromene katangra, rambira maro sari birana, rimbene maramo sere sakuna mega. Father in all this terrible, ne serum ba serme, rimbiri bidamaraka, rambara bikapro, rimbira sakato mria, rambara bidiram pidima pidima itaremina, rambane maro mizakalalo. Oh God, damane basamba kale, ramba pidime, rimbi Saraka and the Lomo Separate, Rembe Salala, Rembele Mesetero, Ramba, Sala Comedy, Rabino, Serenkelo Kumbaka, Rambele Bidi, Rembele Menom Zambrakana, Rembele Sakatonga, Rembe Susan Zombakina Kundurandigi, Rembe Sulukom Shakara, Rakatombihan, Ressa Kambaraka, Ressa Kambaraka Topaka, Rissambara Vikatokasa. In Jesus' name.